Bike Snob with Evan Weiss.
Hello, you're listening to Bike Snob on WBAI. I'm Evan Weiss. Yesterday was a beautiful day in New York City, and no matter which borough you live in, you no doubt saw and heard drivers ripping and snarling up and down the avenues in muscle cars. It's the kind of boys-will-be-boys behavior many of us shrug off. Showing off in overpowered cars is part of our national identity, after all. But one of those drivers, at least one, killed somebody yesterday. Coney Island Avenue and Avenue L in Brooklyn, yesterday around 12:30 p.m. An 18-year-old driver in a Dodge Charger goes racing through a solid red light, smashes into another driver in a Honda. That Honda goes flying into a 52-year-old cyclist, pinning him against a building and killing him. He is the 19th cyclist to die this year in New York City. And a pedestrian was also injured in the crash. Just a pedestrian on the sidewalk. Unlike other deaths, where there are conflicting accounts and speculation about who did what, and invariably some kind of victim blaming on the part of the cyclist, they weren't in the bike lane, they ran the light, they did this, they did that, this one was captured on dash cam video, and you can see exactly what happened with total clarity, and I hope you watch it too. Frankly, everyone should watch this video. It's horrible to watch. It's absolutely gut-wrenching, but everybody should watch this video. Everybody should see the consequences of this kind of driving, and why when we talk about the death toll out there on the street and Vision Zero and all this, this is what we're talking about. By the way, this is an 18-year-old driver in a car that comes stock with anywhere from 300 to 700 horsepower, depending on which configuration you choose. The car, by the way, also had two school zone speed camera violations on it. If you listened to the program last week, one of the things we discussed was a Twitter bot called How's My Driving NY. And if you plug a license plate into that, go to Twitter, go to How's My Driving NY, put in a license plate, it'll come back with all that car's camera tickets. So first thing people did when they saw pictures of this car did that, two speeding tickets in school zones already on this car. 18-year-old driver. Gun control right now is dominating the national conversation with very good reason. But nobody ever seems to question that anybody with a license and a key can operate a 700-horsepower Dodge Charger Hellcat or a 460-horsepower Mustang or a 5,000-pound, 450-horsepower F-150 Raptor pickup truck anywhere and at any time, anywhere they want in the most densely populated city in America. So I'm going to be taking calls today, 212-209-2877. Please feel free to call in at any time talking about this latest death on the streets of New York City in Brooklyn. 14, I believe, of this year's 19 cyclist deaths have taken place in Brooklyn this year. We're going to be talking about all manner of cycling-related issues today. Again, 212-209-2877. So, again, this is a show about cycling. So when I talk about victims here, I'm focusing on cyclists. But, of course, cyclists aren't the only victims. drivers also killed two pedestrians in Brooklyn last week. At least one of those was a hit and run. And we're now at 67 pedestrian deaths in New York City for 2019. And that is up from 58 at the same time last year. So the cycling death toll this year is one away from having doubled over last year, and we're well above last year's pedestrian fatality total at the same time last year. Okay, so the truth is that in 2019, there should be no streets like Coney Island Avenue in New York City where this latest cycling death occurred. If you've driven, walked, ridden a bike, done anything on Coney Island Avenue, you know it's a drag strip. You know it's crazy. Instead, streets like Coney Island Avenue are still the norm in all the five boroughs. The truth is also that in 2019, cars like these should not be mixing with pedestrians and cyclists in the city. Instead, it's a complete free-for-all out there. Run what you brung. Drive whatever you want. Drive it wherever you want. If you can get away with driving it fast, so be it. I'm going to take your calls, 212-209-2877. WBAI, you're on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, hi. My name is Ian, and I'm calling right now from Astoria, Queens.
Hi, Ian. How are you?
Not too bad. Yeah, I think you hit the nail right on the head that a lot of these muscle cars, they're just, you know, it's too much power. You know, especially the Dodge Chargers, they've been involved in so many fatal accidents. In fact, that was the car that the driver in Charlottesville used to mow down those people.
That's right, absolutely. And you look at the marketing of these cars; they're just marketed on the raw power and
yes.
who they're yes. appealing to. This is the natural consequence, absolutely. And
yeah.
and you know, you're calling from Astoria. I was in Astoria all day yesterday and on 21st Street listening and watching these muscle cars ripping up and down. This was very much on my mind yesterday. And then I was thinking of it. And then this happened on Coney Island Avenue. It was all so, you know, horrific and yet completely unsurprising.
Yeah. I mean, I actually live in the Bronx.
And, oh, yeah.
I'm like maybe about a half a mile away from the Bronx River Parkway. And at night, you could swear that you're at the Indy 500.
Yes, yeah. I live in the Bronx, too. Yeah, yeah. The sun goes down. You just hear just the screaming of engines all over. It's like instead of crickets, you hear screaming engines. Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's like the state troopers either are unwilling or can't do anything to, you know, set up speed traps and you know, start ticketing and probably seizing these cars from these people.
Yeah, yeah, we need to, and there needs to be a new level of regulation, absolutely,
yeah.
which is what I'm going to be talking about today, and some of the, you know, the things that we can do, the things we're not doing, the things we should try to do.
Yeah, and at 18 years old, that's way too young. He hasn't had the necessary experience to be able to control a car like that.
Yeah, 18, thinking back to when I'm 18 and driving and yeah, it all of this, absolutely. Thank you so much for the call. I really appreciate it. I'm going to take another call. WBAI, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Good morning. My name is Lucy from Brooklyn.
Hi, Lucy.
Hi. I'm calling because I am a victim of hit-and-run car accident on Coney Island Avenue.
Yeah,
Avenue
okay.
O.
Yeah.
And I would like to address this by first telling you thanks for this program. It's very good.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, but we need more help on the streets with the car signals, those ground signals, especially where the bus stops are.
Mm-hmm.
it's usually rocky there because, you know, the constant stopping of the bus there.
Yeah.
And also when the car hit me, that helped, you know, helped the situation, made it more a problem because I was trying to find a place to walk while I was crossing.
Oh, okay. You were crossing the street. And
yeah, I was crossing Coney Island Avenue and Avenue O.
And Avenue O, and a hit-and-run driver hit you.
He hit me. He turned. He went into my left side.
Okay.
And I flew up in the air, and I fell on my right side.
I'm so sorry to hear that. Were the police of any help?
No, the ambulance picked me up really quick.
Yeah.
He left the scene of the accident.
Yeah.
He was caught after 5 months.
Oh, he was caught. Okay.
Yes, but then the case was dismissed.
The case was dismissed.
So this driver is out there driving?
Yes.
He's still driving, and I know for a fact that he's still driving.
Yes.
And, I have had a quite bad experience with this, plus all the injuries that I had from head to toe.
Yeah.
I broke the eye socket.
This is horrible, and I'm so sorry to hear this. And this is when we see what's happening on Coney Island Avenue. This latest death. This is just one of so many incidents that happens on Coney Island Avenue and streets like it. And as I said in the beginning of the program, in 2019, New York City should not have streets like this. It should not have these speedways.
Besides the streets,
yeah.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, please.
Those cars are suburban. Those suburban trucks, they are so dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, I think big cars like that, you know, with all the traffic and the bikes and the cyclists and the motorists, I don't think we should have such a big mixture.
Yeah. Well, you know, the cars are getting bigger and more powerful, just that this just keeps happening. And we know nationally we're having a bigger and bigger problem with pedestrian deaths. So let's not even talk about cyclists right now. Pedestrian deaths. We're having a bigger problem.
Yes, I'm a living miracle.
Yeah.
Because I even have a video proof of it.
You have it? Yeah.
Yes, I would like to ask, I know this is a program, is it possible I can get some feedback from your organization?
Feedback from organizations?
Yeah.
I mean, I would certainly Transportation Alternatives is an organization that's out there, they're the biggest group in New York City right now that is working constantly to redesign streets, to change policy with regard to motor vehicles, to make the streets safer for pedestrians, to increase the number of bus lanes. We need more buses. We need better buses and better public transportation. So if you don't, you know, not everybody rides a bike, can ride a bike, wants to ride a bike. Not everybody should have to rely on a car. We need to be able to get around safely and efficiently in New York. We need better buses. You mentioned the condition of the bus stops and the pavement around the bus stops. So all of these things, Transportation Alternatives is the organization that comes to mind. And I thank you so much for this call. And you know, our cars are getting bigger and more deadly. It's just the fact that SUVs, which Ford's not even going to make sedans anymore, except for maybe the Mustang, they're making all SUVs now. And these vehicles are designed for maximum bludgeoning capability. I mean, it's just physics that these cars, when they hit pedestrians, are more likely to kill them. And our entire fleet in the United States is switching over to these cars. So thank you very much. The number is 212-209-2877 to call in today. We're talking about the latest bicycling death in New York City. We're talking about just the street safety situation in New York City. We're talking about our policy with regard to cars and trucks on the streets of New York City. WBAI, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Lena, and I'm calling from Manhattan.
Hi, Lena.
Hi. You know, I agree with the fact that these larger cars are more dangerous, but that, you know, people should be driving the limit. But the bicycles.
Yes.
The bicycles, I don't agree with them sharing the road with cars. I don't think that New York City is the kind of city with all the yellow cabs and all the Uber cars is the kind of city that is safe for a cyclist. Now, I recently spoke with somebody from Sweden who said he grew up with bicycles and, you know, his country is a bicycle country, and he would be terrified to drive a bicycle in New York because they don't have any dedicated lanes. It's all mixed at some point. I mean, if bicycles would just take Riverside Drive or ride around in the Central Park or FDR Drive, then they couldn't possibly be hit by a car.
Okay. Well, I see what you're saying. I thank you for this. A number of things I'd like to touch on here. With regard to your call, the first thing, I'll address the last thing you said, which is if bicyclists just stuck to the parks and the paths, they wouldn't get hit by cars. Sure, they also wouldn't be able to go anywhere. The bicycle is not a viable form of transportation if all you can do is ride circles around Central Park. Then it's no different than an elliptical machine in a gym. That's really a non-starter. As far as you're saying that bicyclists should not be sharing the road with drivers, most advocates would tend to agree, which is why most advocates want dedicated bicycle infrastructure that minimizes interactions, conflicts between cyclists and drivers. And then to moving on to a larger point that you touched on, which is something you hear from a lot of people. You hear that New York is not a bicycle city. New York is not Amsterdam. New York is not Sweden. There are too many yellow cabs. There are too many cars. It's not a good place to ride a bicycle. That's not something that's intrinsic to New York City that's unchangeable. It's quite the opposite. This is a sign that New York City policy, New York City streets need to change. They can change. They are changing. They will continue to change, and they do need to change. You don't, in the face of pedestrian deaths and cyclist deaths, you don't throw up your arms and say, oh, this is a car city. That's just the way it is. You change the balance. The balance is horribly skewed out there, which is why we're in this situation. If New York City had drinking water that killed you when you drank it, you wouldn't say, New York City is not a tap water city, bring bottled water or go home. You would say, we need better water. And that's precisely what we did 150 or 200 years ago, whatever it is, when we built the old Croton Aqueduct. And in a massive engineering feat, one of the greatest engineering feats of that century, of the 19th century, we brought water from upstate down into New York City. There was a cholera epidemic. We're not walking around today saying, New York's a cholera city. You know, you can't handle the water. Get out. We change it. This is what New York has done throughout its history. New York has faced the biggest problem. New York's the biggest city in the country. It's faced the biggest problems any city has faced in this country. And it has always confronted them. Huge engineering feats, huge, you know, social and everything. This is another problem that New York City has to face and confront with the same amount of ingenuity that it's confronted other problems with in the past. 212-209-2877 is the number to call today. Now, bicycle advocates, pedestrian advocates have been frustrated that the city hasn't really advanced any truly innovative policies when it comes to addressing how badly overrun we are with cars. So this is what I'm talking about. This is the caller is saying New York City is too many cars to do anything else. We need to change that. Mayor de Blasio, who was playing skee ball yesterday at the Iowa State Fair when that happened, when this latest cycling death happened, recently announced something called the Green Wave. That's the city's plan to reverse the upward trend in cycling deaths and get Vision Zero in New York back on track. While there was some good stuff in there, the Green Wave is mostly just more of the same. It's basically a brand name for a bunch of projects the DOT had already been working on, new bike lanes and so forth. How does anything in the Green Wave stop a speeding driver from sending a Honda flying into a cyclist at a red light and crushing him to death against the side of a building? It doesn't. You need to do more. Then again, when the city does try to do something to meaningfully undermine the dominance of the private car, they get sued. So today, 14th Street in Manhattan was set to become almost car-free, with traffic mostly restricted to buses and trucks. No, it wasn't going to become car-free in the sense that people would be riding bikes and walking and throwing flowers around and dancing. It was becoming car-free in that traffic was going to be restricted to buses and trucks so that bus service could move more efficiently, so that commuters, people who need to get around the neighborhood, could move more quickly. However, a group of area residents who have been fighting this plan recently won an appeal to keep the city from implementing it. Their objection is the same one you hear at pretty much every, it's the same reaction you hear to pretty much every other street change project the city proposes, that it's going to create traffic on the side streets, the side streets, the side streets. Won't somebody think of our precious side streets? Of course, one good way to get traffic off side streets would be to remove all the free parking on them. Yet, funnily enough, nobody seems to advocate for getting rid of the parking. No, they don't want to allow the city to have a dedicated bus route on 14th Street. Now, the attorney representing these residents, Arthur Schwartz, who just happens to have a show on this radio station, told The Villager publication last week, quote, "I said it might cost $5,000 to $10,000 to print the record." He's referring to the paperwork for this appeal. "I got a great reaction. Everyone was pledging $1,000 here, $1,000 there." So basically what you have is a bunch of people with enough cash lying around to fund an appeal to block a project that would have reduced the amount of private car traffic on 14th Street and created a better bus system on 14th Street. So this is what the city is up against. People who don't want it just because they don't want something different, throwing money at the quote-unquote problem. And that is preserving the status quo. WBAI, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? WBAI, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Oh, I'll try one more time. Maybe turn down your radio. WBAI, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, good morning. My name is Taz. I'm calling from Brooklyn, New York, actually. How are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm pretty good. You know, I'm on listening to the radio station, and I got to just make a couple of comments about what you're saying in reference to the, you know, bicycles on the road today. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like we put all the responsibility on drivers, but as I watch people riding on bicycle lanes, it seems like they don't even have the adherence to the law themselves. They blow through red lights. They turn where they're not supposed to. I've seen many near misses of children and adults riding up the block, up and down streets where they're not paying attention as well. So I don't think all the responsibilities on drivers. I think bicyclists need to be responsible as well. I mean, there's many new bicycle lanes in Brooklyn. Bus lanes are taking over the streets, which, look, I'm not totally against. But it seems like in a lot of the cases, we put more pressure on people with vehicles to take away their parking, for instance, making it more expensive for them. Insurance is going up through the roof through the city. We have electric bikes doing over 30 to 40 miles an hour on the roads as well. So I'm not against bikes totally. I think we just have to have more of an encompassing law that makes everybody responsible, not just pushes it all on drivers, increasing the cost of living in the city as well. I think there has to be a twofold solution. And it just seems like everybody's just pushing the drivers away. Like, even when you remove parking in the street, where are these people going to park their vehicles? Are we just going to force people out of cars through cost? I mean, people that have families, for instance. I mean, I have a family of five. Am I supposed to bicycle up and down throughout New York City and not be able to move around?
So no, you know, this is what I'm talking about. The fact we have two... many cars in the city, yes, there are people who need cars or people who use, and there are people who use their cars responsibly and all of that stuff. However, it's grossly skewed the amount of space dedicated to cars. And you're talking about cars becoming more expensive, driving being unfairly expensive. It's actually the opposite. It's grossly underpriced. I mean, most of the parking in this city is free, and it's something that a lot of car owners are abusing. And if parking were regulated better, if parking were at a market rate, then only the people who needed cars would use the parking, and the people who are basically squatting on the curbside, just leaving cars parked that they don't use until they go out of town for the weekend, that maybe they move once or twice a week for alternate side parking, they might look to other solutions. Now, the car, it may seem at first blush to somebody who owns a car that making it more difficult to own one is unfair, but it's intrinsically difficult to own a car in a crowded city. And what these policies are the goal of these policies, when you're talking about more bus lanes, when you're talking about reforming parking, it's to reduce people's dependence on cars so the people who don't need them don't have to use them and don't have to pay these crushing costs. It's simply not fair that somebody who, say, lives in a neighborhood that's poorly served by public transport and has to depend on a car, if you depend on a car, your transmission goes, that's a crushing blow. We need alternatives that spare people from having to own these cars in the first place. You know, the city has been...
The city has been
creating car sharing.
The way that we're going about it, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The way we're going about it, let's talk about the Uber explosion.
Yeah.
Let's talk about how much parking that's taking. I mean, let's talk about, like, the insurance cost. I mean, I'm going to speak to you, honestly, I'm paying $5,500 a year to have a car. And now what you're talking about is making it even more expensive to have a vehicle.
Well, and I'm not talking about making it more expensive. It's quite the opposite. You know, if the city were better at regulating all of these things, it would be less difficult for the people who need it. Part of the reason your insurance is so expensive is all the insurance fraud going out there. Walk up and down your street. How many cars are illegally registered out of state? How many people have got a scam going? I mean, this stuff is...
Oh, I agree.
Yeah. It's not fair to you. It's not fair to anybody. And as far as bicyclists needing to be responsible for their safety, everyone needs to be responsible for their safety. However, you know, it's proportionate. And if you're driving a car, you have proportionately more responsibility as the operator of a heavier, more dangerous vehicle. Look, I drive. I know all these things. I drive. I take transit. I ride. I see it from every side. You know, the city needs to regulate this stuff better, again, so that people who need a car can park it. You know, and so that the people who don't need a car are disincentivized to have the car just because. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to who are moving into my building, for example, and the first thing they want to know is, how's the parking? If I can park, I'll get a car. I don't have one now, but if the parking's okay, I'll get one. That free parking is incentivizing people who can afford it, people with disposable income who want the car just because, to buy the car. And then people who need the car, that affects them. So it's all out of whack. It's all imbalanced. It's the opposite of what capitalism is supposed to be. It's it doesn't work for you, and it doesn't work for anybody.
A lot has to be changed. Yeah. I mean, but we have to put the city as well, what you just mentioned before, about all these people with out-of-state license plates that come, live in New York City, make New York City wages, and yet turn around and have license plates from Ohio paying $100 a month well, that puts that weight on me. The city does nothing about that. They
correct.
Just lean back.
Absolutely.
Exactly. So there's a lot of solutions that need to come about. But it's just to say we need more bike lanes. Don't need cars. Even though you're doing that, I understand, but it puts more pressure on people that do need the cars.
Well, just because you may not see the bicycle as a viable option for you. And thank you for the call. But I just want to say you may not see a bicycle as a viable option for you. It may or may not be, but there are lots of people for whom it is, and they need to be able to ride if they want, and that creates a better situation for everybody. Okay, we're going to take a short break here, WBAI.
Hello, New York. My name is Arthur Schwartz. You may know me as an activist attorney or as a founder of the New York Progressive Action Network or as counsel for Occupy Wall Street, Black Lives Matter, and Bernie Sanders. I'm proud to announce my latest foray into activism as the host of a program at WBAI. The show is called Advocating for Justice. It airs every Monday from 5 to 6 p.m. Each week, we'll talk to activists who are successfully employing strategies which address the challenges we are facing in a post-Trump and post-Hillary world. Again, that's Advocating for Justice, Mondays at 5 p.m. here on WBAI 99.5 FM. It will be movement-building time on the radio.
Okay, we're back. WBAI, you're listening to Bike Snob. I'm Eben Weiss. We're talking about the latest cycling death in New York City, which took place on Coney Island Avenue in Brooklyn on Sunday. Dodge Charger driver speeds through a red light, sends a Honda flying into a cyclist and kills him, pins him against the building, crushes him to death. And I've been talking about how the city still has not taken the next steps as far as just reducing the volume of cars on the street, changing its policy with regard to motor vehicle traffic, motor vehicle ownership, street design, all of it. And I'm taking your calls, 212-209-2877. WBAI, you're on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, hello. Good call. Good program.
Thank you.
My name is Vince, and I live in New York City, and I've lived in New York City all my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in my late 60s. And virtually every job I've had entailed driving for companies, and I drive now.
Okay.
For a living. And what I see is that too many things are implemented before the rules are set, before you have rules in place. I, for one, try my best, not that I can't ever get in an accident, but I try to follow the zero vision to a T. Cars get behind me, they blow their horns. You know, first off, those laws are not enforced at all.
Right.
So blowing horns are illegal, especially in residential areas. Nobody enforces that. You know, but that's okay because I ignore them when they do that. You know, cars behind me and I'm trying to turn. I turn slowly because of the zero vision. But on the other hand, with the bicyclers, and to add to that, skateboarders, they're acting as if they're cars. Scooters, and now they just legalized the mopeds. So I'm saying that, you know, the rules are not set and nobody enforces those rules. I see bicyclers on the electric bikes and on regular bicycles going the wrong way and on one-way street all the time, daily.
Right. You know, you say that these laws are not enforced. I can assure you that they are enforced, that there's a tremendous amount of ticketing of bicyclists, and as far as the e-bikes go, there's been massive confiscations of delivery workers' e-bikes, and there continues to be because while a bill passed in the New York State Legislature to legalize them, it hasn't been signed yet. So there is a tremendous amount of enforcement. As a driver, no doubt you don't see it. It works the opposite way, too, in that a lot of bike advocates, people like that, will say that, you know, we're getting ticketed like crazy out here. There's no enforcement of drivers. I know that's not true. I know there's enforcement of drivers. I know there's a lot of ticketing going on. It happens both ways. We don't see it. The fundamental problem is the method of enforcement, whether you're talking about cars or bikes, it's similarly ineffective in that it's, you know, if you've got a ticket in your car, half the time, I've been ticketed as a driver. I know how it works. You do some little thing maybe you didn't realize you were even doing something wrong. They walk up to your car half the time and they'll give you a ticket. I think the last time I got a traffic ticket in a car, the cop just walked up to me. This is not, you know, when you see someone screaming down the street at 60 miles an hour, this isn't the kind of thing this enforcement is helping. You know, what is helping is this automated enforcement we're getting more of, the cameras. But even that has limitations. But I just wanted you to know that there's plenty of enforcement, and you're seeing bicyclists doing things that are illegal and thinking they're not getting tickets. They are, you know, cyclists are seeing drivers doing things illegal constantly and saying they're not getting tickets. They are. They're just not always getting tickets for the right thing. You know, so I just wanted to clarify there.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't see it.
Yeah.
But then, and the other thing is, a lot of people are coming to city has become the number one tourist place in the world.
Mm-hmm.
People are coming here, moving here for the opportunities, coming from rural areas, other countries and whatnot. And they don't necessarily know the rules of how or know the patterns of how stuff goes here. So they jump on a bicycle and, you know, they're not really aware of what's the dangerous areas, where this is, what they should be doing here. You know, there needs to be some kind of maybe even educational classes.
Oh, yeah. You know, I agree with you. And there are educational classes. No one's going to force you to take a class, a bicycle safety class, but there are plenty of them out there. They exist. They're a thing. You know, as far as people coming to New York from rural areas, coming wherever and not knowing the rules, this has been the fact of life in New York City since day one in New York City. Everybody has come here from somewhere else and had to figure out how it works. And that's true whether you're getting on a bike. That's true whether you're coming in here and getting in a car. That's true whether you're coming in here and walking. It's true for everybody. And absolutely, that does contribute to New York's unique character as a place where there's a little bit of chaos. You know, there's tourists here. There's people. There's new people here. There's every kind of person here. As far as bicycles go, one major contributing factor to this sort of confusion is that our bicycle infrastructure is so piecemeal. There's a bike lane, and then the bike lane's gone because that you've moved into another neighborhood with a different community board, and they didn't want the bike lane. So if you're on a bike, if you're new to bicycling, and you come to New York and you're riding a bike in a bike lane, then your bike lane's gone, and then you have to figure it out all over again, and then your bike lane's back, and there's the cues, the visual cues, the signage, the infrastructure, everything is so inconsistent, much more so than it is when you're in a car. You know, if you're driving, obviously every street's different, every neighborhood's different, but it's fairly consistent in terms of there's going to be a paved road for you in New York City. There's going to be a stop sign or a red light. There's usually going to be lines painted on the street. There's going to be signs where you should park. There's the environment, the built environment, all the cues are there for motorists. If you're a bicyclist, there might be a bike rack. There may not. There might be a bike lane. There might not. So if you're one second you're on a protected bike lane, the next you're not, and you're in survival mode. And a person on a bicycle is going to act in their own self-interest. So sometimes I'm not defending doing the wrong thing on a bike or breaking the law necessarily, but you'd be surprised how many times that is just a byproduct of there being no perceivable safe alternative. So improving the bike infrastructure, kind of rebalancing the way our streets are built so that they reflect all the people using them and not just the drivers, will go a long way towards changing that behavior, towards showing people where to go and what to do. Does it solve everything? No, but it's crucial.
Not to mention the major construction that's going on throughout the city.
Yeah, the city's a construction site. The city's a giant construction site at all times.
Which changes and alters the rules that someone might have to follow. I just think that we do some things, and being a citizen of New York City, you know, and I love my city, I love my country, but we often put things together for what I would see as economic reasons. Oh, it's going to bring in this amount of money, but we don't lay down the rule. We don't lay down the rules clearly enough.
I agree. And that, you know, that's, thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. And that's exactly what I'm saying. We're not clear enough. It's not clear enough if you're riding a bicycle where to go and what to do. There's not enough for you. The balance is skewed. I'm going to take some more calls. 212-209-2877 is the number to call. WBAI, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi. Are you speaking to me?
I am, yes.
Well, my name is John. I'm from New Jersey.
Hi, John.
I often ride my bicycle in New York City.
Yeah.
And I think the problem is not only too many people driving and too many people riding bicycles. The culture is do everything as fast as possible. Everything has to be done fast. Forget about doing it properly. Forget about doing a clean job. Just get it done. Get it done fast. That's the American way. And that's all I have to say about this.
Okay.
You have a good day. Be careful you don't get run over.
Okay. Be careful you don't get run over. Well, I don't know how helpful that is. As far as doing things fast in New York, the phrase New York Minute exists for a reason. People do things fast. Everybody should slow down. One nice thing about bikes, I will say, is that I do think people on bikes could slow down. Drivers could definitely slow down. That's for sure. The nice thing about bikes is you can slow down and you're still winning, because even going slowly on a bicycle, it's efficient. You're not going to get stuck in a traffic jam. So I agree. Slow down. WBAI, taking calls. WBAI, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
It's Russell up in White Plains.
Hi, Russell.
Hi. I'd like to tell that caller that wondered what the rules are. The rule is cars yield to bikers and pedestrians. Okay, when you're driving fast on a bike, it's a 50-pound bike. You're driving fast in a car, you got a 2-ton deadly weapon, okay? And I'm sick every week we hear drivers complaining about bicycles and pedestrians. Listen, Evan, I'd like to start a legal defense fund for a necessity defense. I'd like to know first, what happened to those traffic-stopping bike rallies? Because that's effective. I believe in direct action. We're not going to get anywhere begging and pleading for our lives on the street. I think bicyclists and pedestrians should carry baseball bats and ball bearings, and when we start fighting back, I'm not kidding, there's going to be bloodshed, people are going to be arrested, but if we don't fight back, we're all going to be killed by these drivers, okay? That's what's going to happen. And these people about the mopeds and the scooters, they don't go more than 25 miles an hour. They have devices that will prohibit cars, computers, from letting them go more than 25 miles an hour on the streets of New York, and that's what we should demand, okay? I'd like to leave room for other callers, though, Evan. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. I will mention, he mentioned traffic stopping protests. I don't remember exactly his phrase. Critical mass has returned to New York City. This is a group ride. Solidarity ride, cyclists. If you're familiar with critical mass, it did disappear from New York for a while due to NYPD cracking down on it, but it has returned. Technology could go a long way, absolutely. In the early days of motor vehicles, cities wanted cars to have speed governors on them. The auto industry successfully defeated that, surprise, surprise, around the same time as when the auto industry created the concept of jaywalking. Jaywalking, which we take for granted as a word and as a concept, the concept that if you cross in the middle of the street and get hit, it's your own darn fault. The auto industry invented that. That is something that is a word they created. I believe a J at the time they created it early in the night in the 20th century, I believe a J was sort of like slang for a rube or a schmuck or an idiot. So they created this thing called jaywalking. Cars were new in cities. They were going too fast. They were killing people left and right. Cities wanted to limit the cars, limit the speeds they could go. Auto industry came back. No, you step out in front of a car, you're a J, you're a jaywalker, you're an idiot. And that stuck, that worked. And that is why we have this concept now of jaywalking. It is a victim-blaming term. We don't realize that. I'm going to take some more calls. 212-209-2877 is the number. WBAI. You're on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Joseph. I'm calling from Staten Island, New York.
Hi, Joseph.
Hey, so I am, as I ride my bike every day in Staten Island, and sometimes there are no bike lanes, as you were saying earlier.
Yeah.
It's not consistent. So I went through a red light on Highland Boulevard because I stopped and then I went, you know, proceeded safely.
Yeah.
And I ended up getting pulled over because obviously I went through a red light. So it was for my safety because when the light turns green and the rest of the drivers are speeding by, honking, cutting me off because
yeah.
they're angry because I'm going slow. I'm like, well, I have to do it for my safety, you know? I don't want to get squashed. So,
yeah.
You know, like you said, you go into survival mode when there are no lines or, what's it called, you know, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sorry to hear about that ticket. And I don't know if you're going to plead guilty, not guilty. I would suggest that you call Vaccaro and White is a law firm. Steve Vaccaro from Vaccaro and White was a guest on this program a few weeks ago. Give them a call. They can give you free legal advice over the phone. I'm not plugging a business, you know, free advice and something that could help you. And I'm glad that you brought this up because, a lot of motorists who complain about the bicycles don't obey the law. Mm-hmm. When you're in a car, you don't always understand what you're seeing. The world looks very different when you're driving a car, when you're operating a car. And cyclists are sometimes breaking the law because they're in self-preservation mode. And anyone who rides a bike understands exactly why you went through that light when it was safe to do so. Because you're if the wrong kind of intersection, which that one is, you can be a sitting duck. And that's exactly what happened to this cyclist yesterday on Coney Island Avenue. He was there at the red light. This guy ran a light and sent this other car flying into him. And that's what happened. And everybody who rides a bike knows what it feels like to be at a red light waiting the second the light changes. Everyone's honking at you. They'll right hook you. They'll do everything. So you want to get ahead of that. And that's why the city council recently passed a law that goes into effect in December called the LPI law. So if you're on a bicycle and you're at an intersection where the pedestrians get the walk signal before the drivers get the green light, unfortunately, every intersection doesn't work like that, but more and more do, then as a bicyclist, you can go when the pedestrian sign turns, when the pedestrians get the go signal. That gives you a head start. That head start is so crucial at these big crazy intersections. And thank you so much for this call. This is a caller who did just that and got a ticket. I'm going to take some more calls. 212-209-2877 WBAI. You're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, Evan. This is Delcini from the East Village. And over the, last month or so, I've become a huge fan of your show. I believe, actually, that New York is on the way to becoming a city like Amsterdam or Copenhagen. Because when you look at the traffic of people riding their bikes, especially during rush hour, it's like, you know, it's a lot of bikes coming by. And I think there's a big need. And I also feel like if you build it, they will come. And overall, it'll make a better city. And that said, I mean, somebody mentioned the Uber drivers. We have 90,000 extra Uber cars on the street. Mm. And that has a big effect on the amount of car traffic we have in the city. And I think, you know, eventually they're going to have to figure out something to curb that as well.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I guess the city has capped to some extent the Uber, the Lyft, the for hire. They're creating new policies as far as how long they can their cars can be empty below 96th Street. To be quite honest, I don't know all the exact details of it, but they are slowly sort of capping and curbing that a little bit. I agree with and appreciate your overall sentiment that we are becoming a better bike city and a more bike-friendly city, and that if you build it, they will come. I ride here to the studio every Monday morning, and I'm consistently blown away as I get to downtown Manhattan and go over to Brooklyn. I'm consistently blown away by the volume of bicycle traffic. It's absolutely astounding. We have a full-on bicycle rush hour now. This was not a thing 10 years ago. And every year you can just see the volume of cyclists increasing. And it's absolutely inevitable that one way or another we're going to get there. We have to. There's really no choice because the need is there, the desire is there, the car is not really viable as a form of urban transportation. I mean, you're going to have some cars. You're always going to have some cars, but you can't have a car-dependent system. It just doesn't work. We've hit the wall and we've broken through the wall as far as how many cars we can allow to operate in the city. So, yeah, I fully agree with you. And long-term, I'm very optimistic, too. It's just how long it takes us to adopt the policies we need to do. I think a lot of other cities of our status, of our size, are ahead of us.
Right, I agree. And with regards to cars, I used to have a car, but I got rid of it because, A, I wasn't using it as much.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's becoming a hassle to own a car in a city, and most people don't use it, honestly. And the other thing I wanted to hammer home was every week you have your show, we're increasing the numbers of people killed in accidents, which is just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really good part about the show because it really brings home the message. Like, it brings awareness to this huge problem we're having that doesn't really go addressed. And I have to say, the mayor's office, I'm not impressed at all. And the mayor is more busy campaigning right now, but he's obviously going to lose. And so we're stuck with this state luck. Mayor for two more years who's not going to do much on this front, so it seems.
Yeah.
We can't even really push him because there's no political incentive.
Yeah. Well, I thank you so much for the call. I agree. You know, I think the mayor, you know, in his defense, I'll offer him a very weak defense, is that, you know, the city is at least not moving backwards with this stuff. They are moving incrementally forward. They do remain committed. I mean, you could have an administration that decides, oh, this is a failure. We're going to get rid of all the bike lanes. They're doing more. They continue to advance this stuff. That is good. But they could be a lot better. I think, and your point about having a car and then getting rid of it because it's a pain. Look, one of the things the city has been doing is experimenting with these dedicated car share parking spaces, which of course people immediately said, parking just for car shares, that's not fair to give these corporations parking spaces. I don't know if it's fair to give Hyundai free parking for all their lessees all over the city, which is effectively what they do. By fostering things like car share, people who do have need or desire for a car but don't want to deal with the onerous nature of having a car in the city. It's crushingly expensive. It's wildly inconvenient. It's a big pain. Avail yourself of car share. You can get rid of your car and you can use car share. The city should absolutely be making this a more viable option. They should be putting this on the table for people who want to have a car for that weekend trip, that they have a car in the city that they only move once or twice a week for, just so they can go away on the weekend. Yes, take some of this free parking away. Give it to car share programs. Have that more accessible. I think, as somebody who drives myself, I would love to have more options like that. And I think a lot of drivers could gain a lot from that. Again, like an auto bill can be devastating for somebody who's dependent on a car. So we need more options like that. I'm going to take that's it. We don't have time for any more calls. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to thank everybody for listening. This has been Bike Snob on WBAI. I'm Evan Weiss. Ride safe out there. Thanks for listening.
To you. each and every one of you for coming by.
And while he's thanking those folks, let me take this opportunity to thank all of you, our listeners and support staff, our contributors, our interns, the volunteers, producers, and the entire crew that works countless hours to bring WBAI into your lives.
It's 11 o'clock here in New York City, and you're tuned to 99.5 FM WBAI, WBAI.org on the